Thanks for joining me today. We'll hear from Quiet Please this week, but before we do, a quick reminder, you can find more from Quiet Please, past episodes of The Horror, thousands of old-time radio episodes to listen to, and everything else Relic Radio at the website relicradio.com. And if you'd like to help bring these shows to everybody every week, give that donate button a click. It's how this is all made possible. No advertising on the site and the podcasts, so your support is always appreciated. You can also visit donate.relicradio.com for more information. Thank you to everyone who has helped out. And now for our story this week, we're going to hear Come In, Eddie, an episode from Quiet Please that first aired December 1st, 1947.
Quiet, please. Quiet, please. The Mutual Broadcasting System presents Quiet Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet Please for tonight is called Come In, Eddie.
You believe in ghosts? Haunted houses? I got a story for you. We were sitting in the living room alongside the fireplace. Jim Paxton and me. Just sitting there and talking a little. Having an occasional nip out of a bottle. Just sitting there and looking at the fire. And just the two of us. Carol was at the apartment in New York laid up with a cold. Well, I'd run into Jim on 39th Street that afternoon. He said, how's about driving out to the country to your place, huh? That's what we were talking about this night when it was raining. It was 12:30. We were all alone in the house.
How long you been here, Arnold?
Where?
Here? In Eddie's house?
This is my house.
It is now.
Well, don't forget it.
No. You feel funny living here?
No.
I would.
Yeah, I suppose you would.
Eddie ever come around?
Are you kidding?
No. Does he?
Well, how could he?
Well, he liked the house pretty well.
Yeah, if he came around now, he wouldn't recognize it.
I couldn't see what you'd done with it. It was so dark when you come in.
I'll show you in the morning.
Good. Fire feels good.
Yes. Yeah, where you been all this time, Jim?
Different places. You stayed right here, huh?
Here, in New York. I think maybe Carol and I'll move out here, though. Permanently in the spring.
Not for me.
Nobody asked you.
Say, Arnold. You got much left?
What do you mean? Much.
Well, I mean, you know, the size of the house.
Why? Well, I got some.
Fine.
Why? You broke?
Pretty near.
You still got your card? Union card?
Sure.
Well?
What do you mean,
well?
If I'm going to play piano, I'm going to do it for fun.
What am I supposed to do?
Oh, I thought maybe you'd have an idea.
I gave you an idea.
Yeah. That's Eddie's piano?
That's my piano.
The one Eddie had, I mean.
Yeah.
I haven't touched a keyboard in years.
Okay.
Yes, Eddie wouldn't mind if I play his piano. Huh?
Lay off that Eddie stuff, will you?
Remember that thing he used to like on?
Hey, cut that out, will you?
Bother you?
Yeah, leave the piano alone.
Okay. We just talk, huh?
Why don't you just shut up a while?
Oh, I kind of feel like talking, I guess.
Well, I don't.
Well, I talk. You just listen, huh?
Yeah, you.
Want a drink?
No.
I'll have one. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be alone in this house with Eddie walking around night.
Cut it out.
Haunting you.
I told you to cut that out, you hear me?
Oh, now, look, you busted one of Eddie's best glasses.
You son! Just what are you trying to cook up?
I thought you weren't afraid of ghosts, huh?
I'm not. I'm not, I tell you.
Okay, okay.
What are you up to, Jim?
I just thought maybe you'd... you know, get your mind on Eddie for a little while.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you. I gotta have some dough.
Oh. I get it. Good. And the answer's no.
I mean, I gotta have it, Arnold.
Well, listen, you got the big half when... When?
When we murdered Eddie. No, don't take it so big, Arnold. There's nobody here but you and me.
What was that?
The ashtray fell off the piano onto the keys. What's the matter? Think it was Eddie?
Yes, and I got just about enough of this.
It's awful cold in here all of a sudden. Hey, no wonder. That door's open.
Oh, I'll get it.
No. Wait. Maybe Eddie is here. Come in, Eddie.
Don't say that!
Too late, Arnold. Shut the door, Eddie.
Funny things in an old house like this one. Sure, the wind can open a door, and then the draft through the doorway will close the door sometimes. Won't it? It couldn't be Eddie.
Well, Eddie's dead. Eddie died 6 years ago, right here in this house. Right here in this room.
Well, I couldn't help it. I liked Eddie. Well, Eddie was my cousin, wasn't he? I couldn't help it. He had more money than he knew what to do with.
I couldn't help wanting his money.
Well, everybody wants money, don't they? Eddie shouldn't have let me know he'd made that will and I was to get everything.
Yeah, the house and everything.
I'm not going to be crazy. Eddie can't be here. Well, if he was going to haunt me, he'd have been here before this. Wouldn't he?
Thank you.
out of it, Arnold, you see? I gotta have dough. Now.
And I won't give it to you.
Now, look, Arnold, let's be reasonable. You let me have this dough, and I'll go away, and I won't come back.
How do I know you won't?
Well, kid, you don't. But see, you haven't got any alternative.
I won't do it.
What do they do to him in this state?
Who?
Murderers.
Stop talking that way.
Hang him or burn him?
Well, you find out, too, if you try to squeal on me. You had just as much to do with it as I did.
Yeah, that's right. So I did.
So don't try anything.
Oh, Arnold, don't be so dumb. That's the trouble with you. You're always so dumb.
What?
Listen. Who thought of knocking off Eddie in the first place?
You did.
Right. And who figured out a way to do it so nobody'd ever even suspicion he was murdered?
You did.
Well, then, jerk, you don't think I haven't got an out on this thing?
How?
I should tell you. Look, take my word for it, Arnold. I'm in the clear. And, brother, you ain't. So you might as well lay it on the line and be happy.
I don't believe it.
Okay, so don't then. But believe me, Arnold, when I tell you it's going to cost you one thing or the other.
What do you mean?
The dough, Arnold. Or your life. You see?
I won't do it.
Stir up the fire a little. It's getting cold in here again.
Is that door open?
No. The door's closed, Arnold. Eddie's in here with us.
I didn't touch that poker.
Of course you didn't, Arnold. That was Eddie. Starting to stir up the fire for you.
There's no such thing as a ghost. But when people are dead, they're dead. They don't come back to haunt other people. Jim Paxton was playing some kind of a trick on me, just like he tricked me into killing Eddie. Well, I would never have thought of it till he suggested it. And I used to lie awake nights thinking how fine it would be if Eddie was dead and I had all his money. And I remember how Jim Paxton worked on me. I remember how he said Eddie would be better off because he was so sick all the time. And in that time, he told me he'd figure out a way to kill Eddie so that nobody'd ever have the faintest suspicion. And he kept talking about what we could do with all the money Eddie had. And Eddie in the next room with that crystal cocktail shaker of his, calling to us to come and have a drink with him. He was so lonesome. And the two of us would drink with him, and he never knew what we were thinking over the rims of our glasses. I remember Jim whispering in the corner.
Nice guy, Eddie. But he's so useless, Arnold.
And I remember Jim on the telephone.
Poor old Eddie. Always half drunk to deaden that continual pain.
And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and thinking I heard Jim's voice somewhere.
We'd be doing Eddie a favor, Arnold.
And a day in this very room, and Eddie on the floor. And Jim walking across the room with that big, toothy grin of his and sticking out his hand and saying,
"Congratulations. Congratulations, rich man."
And then the sound of a poker falling on the hearth in Eddie's house at midnight. With nobody there but me and Jim Paxton.
That was Eddie. Starting to stir up the fire for you.
I want a drink.
No, now wait, Arnold.
Cut it out, Jim.
I said wait. We want to get this thing settled before you start to get tight.
I'm not going to get tight. I just want a drink.
You'll get a drink. I want to straighten this thing out first. Now, look.
I'll give you $1,000.
Why, you big-hearted old fella, you.
Not another dime. Hand me the bottle.
Kid, I don't want $1,000.
Will you give me a drink?
No. Kid, look. I want a lot more than 10 lousy $100 bills.
Well, you're not going to get it.
I think I am.
Well, how much?
How much have you got?
None of your business.
Let's stop kidding around, Arnold. I got a pretty good idea how much dough you've got.
You have not. Why, you'd be surprised.
Look, for $20,000, I'll never see you again.
$20,000? What do you think I am?
A jerk.
Now, listen.
A jerk that murdered his cousin.
With your help?
Arnold, I never touched him.
Well, but you...
You killed him.
Well, you're just as guilty as I am. Give me a drink.
After a while. What about this 20 G's?
You know what I could do, Jim?
What could you do, Arnold?
Well, you said I killed Eddie.
You did?
It ever occurred to you that I might kill you?
Sure.
I'm bigger than you, Jim.
Yep.
Why, I could...
You could choke me. Or you could hit me with a poker. Or maybe you got guns here you could shoot me with.
I think I will kill you.
Do, huh?
Yes, I do.
Wait a minute, Arnold.
Why should I?
Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you, Arnold.
Go on.
See, the trouble with you is you're so dumb.
Dumb enough to kill you.
Yeah, that sure would be dumb, boy.
Yeah?
Look, kid. I told you I got an out if I have to turn you in. I was smart enough to figure that out so nobody can touch me.
What's that got to do with me killing you?
Well, Arnold, boy, if I was smart enough to figure out a foolproof way of knocking off your cousin, and if I was smart enough to dope out a way to keep my nose clean if they hang you, well, wouldn't I be smart enough to have an angle that'd keep you from bumping me?
What do you mean?
You know, one of the reasons I like you, Arnold, is you're so simple-minded. Look, don't you ever go to the movies or listen to the radio or read a book?
What are you talking about?
Okay. Look, there's a little note written to a certain guy that spills all the works about how Eddie got knocked off. And this little note, Arnold, is in the hand of a certain other guy. And if I don't call him up or come see him for 24 hours, he mails the note. You see how simple?
I don't believe it.
Okay. Knock me off and see.
You know, Jim, I was thinking.
Well, what do you know about that?
I was thinking, wouldn't it be funny if Eddie was here?
Funny? Oh.
Well, you know, if Eddie was here, listening to us two, talk about how we...
Murdered is the word, Arnold.
All right, murdered. How we murdered him. You know, I don't think he knew who did it.
I never thought of that.
I don't think he did. He was standing there, right over there.
I remember.
And he had his back turned to both of us.
Let's not go into the details, Arnold. I remember it well
enough. Well, I was just thinking, if he was here, finding out that we murdered him, now we're talking about getting rid of each other.
Yeah. You'd get a great kick out of it. Eddie had a terrific sense of humor.
Yeah. He also had a terrific sense of getting even with people, Jim.
Yeah, I know.
Well, if he was here, listening to all this, you know what he'd be thinking about.
Getting even.
Yeah.
Well, so okay, he's not here.
You sure?
Look, that was the wind blew the door open.
Yeah.
And I knocked the poker over.
Well, how could you?
I kicked the base of the stand.
Scared you, huh?
No kidding. No kidding, did you?
I did.
Then you don't think... You don't think Eddie is here?
Are you nuts?
Well, sure, how could I... I mean, there aren't any ghosts. Are there?
Well, not to change the subject, boy, but what about my money?
I gotta think about it.
You ought to have your thinking all done by now, boy. I've laid it on the line for you. It's open and shut.
Well, give me a drink.
Go ahead.
Wait.
What's the matter?
Listen. What is that?
I know what it sounds like.
Eddie's cocktail shaker.
Yeah.
Who else is in the house?
Nobody.
Don't kid me.
I'm not. Listen. Jim.
Quiet.
Listen, Jim. Listen, that's the way Eddie used to shake up those daiquiris. You remember? Listen. Chink, 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 chink. Remember? Eddie. Always in the library. Making a drink.
Maybe he heard you asking for one.
Cut it out.
Go see what that noise is.
Well, not me.
Since it's from the library.
Jim. Maybe it is Eddie.
Go see.
No.
Listen, if you're pulling a gag on me...
Jim, I'm not. I'm telling you.
Where is that cocktail shaker?
It is. In the library. I put it in there just the other day.
Why don't you go see what that noise is?
No.
Well, let's both go.
Jim, I'm afraid. You know what we were talking about? About Eddie getting even.
Ah, you're such a jerk. Probably rats or something. Here, give me that poker. I'll go see.
No. No.
Take it away. Hey, Eddie. See? Hey, Eddie! Bring us a drink!
No, Jim. Cut it out.
Look out! Come on! Bring us a drink! Hey, Eddie! Come in, Eddie! Oh, what's it? Hey, the light! Arnold, turn on the light! The light!
I'll get him.
Eddie!
I stumbled against the furniture, so I tried to find the wall switch, but I couldn't find it. And I felt someone bump against me, and I heard Jim yelling.
Oh! Hey!
And I stumbled again.
Hey!
And that cocktail shaker kept clinking away the way I used to shake it. The way I always remembered. Then I heard a kind of struggle going on in the dark. And Jim grunting as if somebody had him in the throat. And then I fell over something and hit my head. The last thing I remembered was the sound of a crashing glass. And I passed out cold on the floor. And then slowly... slowly, I drifted back. The lights were still out, and I could smell the familiar smell of spilled liquor. The daiquiri cocktails from a crystal shaker. And nobody in that house had had a daiquiri since the day that he died. And I heard something. I heard the piano. And the music was that old favorite of Eddie's, the one he used to play, the one Jim had started to play from the Cesar Franck D minor. And I called, Jim! Hey, Jim! But the music went right on, and Jim didn't answer. And then the doorbell started to ring, and the music stopped. And the lights went out. And a big fella in some kind of uniform stepped in the door.
Don't seem to be anybody. Oh, there you are.
Who are you?
State police, mister.
Oh, I'm glad. Well, what do you want?
Who was that playing the piano when I rang the bell?
I don't know.
Well, get up off the floor. Where's the...
What? Where's Jim?
Jim? Is this Jim here, mister?
Where?
Here.
And I looked. Jim was beside the fireplace. And he was dead. And beside him was the shattered remains of the crystal cocktail shaker that had been Eddie's.
You do this, mister?
Where did you come from?
You do this?
Who sent you here?
Well, I'll tell you. Some guy called up and said there was murder being done here, and we'd better get here quick. So, no, don't. Try any monkey business with me, mister. There's another officer right outside the door, and he's got a Tommy gun, and he's got his
eye on you. Well, who was this fellow who told you, officer?
That I'm going to find out. Stick out your hands, will you? That's it. I don't know who he was. He just said, this is Eddie speaking. I said, Eddie who? And he laughed and said, just Eddie. So... that's all I know.
You have listened to Quiet, Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper. The man who spoke to you was Ernest Chappell.
And Les Tremaine played Jim Paxton. Arthur Core was the police officer. Music for tonight's Quiet, Please was composed and played by Albert Berman. And now for a word about next week's Quiet, Please, here is my good friend, Bill Cooper.
I have a story for you next week about what sometimes happens to explorers who go places they shouldn't go. I call it Some People Can't Die.
And so, until next week at this time, I am quietly yours, Ernest Chappell.
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's the horror for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. Quiet, Please aired from June of 1947 to June of 1949, produced 106 episodes. It was created and written by Willis Cooper, who also created and wrote for Lights Out, at least the early episodes of Lights Out. You can find those at the website, relicradio.com. Don't forget to donate if you're able to help out. Thank you again for all who have helped out. Thanks for joining me this week. I'll be back next Saturday with a story from The Witch's Tale on another episode of The Horror.